Hour number three of this hump day edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. I'm out on location in Avon later on tonight. Lake Erie Crushers and the Washington Wild Things will have at it in game two of this series. Crushers trying to snap a six-game slide. Matt Douglas is back in studio control. And boy, what a week it has been in the world of the Cleveland Cavaliers. About 10 days removed from falling to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, and now it seems as though there's a gigantic jailbreak of rumors circulating around who the Cavs may sign, who they may trade for, what they need to do to improve. But the bigger question is, who's going to make those decisions? Now that there is no general manager, at least not today, sounds like something could be wrapped up a little bit later on tonight, maybe into tomorrow. And here to shed some light on all of that and then some is Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, as always, thank you very much for joining us. And I guess we'll begin with this. Were you surprised at all by the mutual parting of ways between David Griffin and Dan Gilbert?
Yes, very. Actually, I thought, it only made sense to me to bring Griff back. He was on the job for 3 years, and he made three finals and won one title. They've been in existence in 47 years, and have only been to one other final. So, the guy wasn't perfect. Not every move he made panned out. They probably overpaid for Tristan and J.R. Smith and a few other players in a few instances. But, the stakes were high and he got them there. And, had the Warriors not added to Kevin Durant, the Cavs could well have been back-to-back champions. So, yeah, I was very, very surprised that it came to this.
Are you buying in to some of the overreaction that we've heard over the last 24 to 36 hours? That, boy, some people really are acting as if Dan Gilbert is the devil. And I don't know if he's as evil as people say, but, boy, there are some people that are awfully upset at some of the things that he has done. It seems like over the last 36 hours or so, he's really kind of become the owner that people despise. Are you buying into this overreaction?
Well, I don't understand what he did. He's now been the owner for 12 and a half seasons, and he's yet to renew a contract of a general manager. So the only conclusion you can draw is he doesn't value the position all that much. He thinks that anybody he hires is going to do a good job with his guidance. I don't know that that's not necessarily that's necessarily the case. I look at it as, he put up an undue obstacle in their path. It should have been a snap, I think, to sign Griff and let him continue to do his job and to stay out of basketball affairs. You hire a general manager to let him be the general manager. So the whole philosophical differences, I don't know, or not the fit, I don't know what that really means, other than Dan thinks Dan can run the Cavs and continue to keep them where they are. So, maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But, what I do know is that David Griffin was tremendously respected by LeBron James, and I don't think you don't have to kiss LeBron's royal hiney on everything you do as an organization, but I think you, in this instance, you should have left well enough alone and let a GM that LeBron respected greatly continue to go about his job. So, Gilbert went from one of the probably the most popular owner in town to probably the least popular in a matter of days. And, his reputation's a bit on the line here. They could, in the grand scheme of things, emerge from all this unscathed. But it sure seems like it would have been a heck of a lot easier just to keep Griffin on the job, give him the contract I thought he richly deserved, and carry on about your business of making a great team even greater.
Rick, we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show, but with Dan Gilbert, has been very boisterous in many of the things he's done as the owner of the team, and getting rid of David Griffin, he was kind of quiet on things. Do you think he deserves to give the fans a bit of an explanation here and say, look, this is why we decided? Because this whole thing just seems to be a mystery. We don't know if he didn't want to pay him more or they just saw different ways. It's been rumors.
Okay, here's... did another show earlier today, and I got basically the same question. If he just didn't want to pay him, I really don't get that, because he's paid everybody else in the organization. They had $150 million payroll if you count luxury taxes. They gave their head coach a $7.5 million deal. Their GM was one of the lowest paid in the league. And deserved more money, and that wasn't going to count against your salary cap or your luxury tax or affect any player acquisition decision. So, just do it. And if it was a philosophical difference, that's equally perplexing, because what you're saying then, if you get down to brass tacks, is that Dan Gilbert thinks he knows more basketball than David Griffin. If he didn't like what Griffin saw as the right thing for the future, so it's oversimplifying things, but you can almost say that, okay, the new GM, probably Chauncey Billups, you can be the GM as long as I agree with everything you do as the GM. Otherwise, your replacement's coming down the pike too. Fairly soon. So it is perplexing to me. GMs don't go by the wayside very often when their teams have been in the championship series three straight years, if it's ever happened.
We're talking with Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rick, what are you hearing that maybe the Cavs have missed out on because of this transition? Again, it sounds like it's a foregone conclusion that Chauncey Billups is going to be the next GM, but, here we are, not too far from the draft. I mean, it's coming up on us very, very quickly here. We're about, 24 hours away? So, I mean, it's almost here. Now, the thing you keep hearing is that the longer this continues to go on without a GM, other teams are looking at this and thinking, well, we don't know who we're dealing with exactly when we're making these phone calls. Who's going to have the final say? What, if anything, do you think they have missed out on with this transaction taking place the way that went at the time that it did?
Well, I don't think anything at this point. Number one, there's a million rumors out there, and they change literally by the minute. One second Jimmy Butler wants to come here, the next second he doesn't want to come here. 2 minutes after that, there's rumors that Cavs players are telling him he doesn't want to come here. It's just a lot of stuff being thrown against the wall right now. If there's a deal to be made, they have enough people in place that they can make a deal. I can remember all the way back to 1986, the Cavs didn't have a general manager, and they traded Roy Hinson for the number one pick and got a nod from Wayne Embry, who was going to be the GM, and took Brad Doherty. And that worked out just fine with Barry Hecker, their player personnel director, basically running the show. So it's difficult, but it's not impossible. But I don't think any of those deals, be they Paul George or Jimmy Butler or something we haven't even heard about, were so close to being done that they didn't get done because of uncertainty in the GM position. I don't think that the opposing team cares who's in charge of the team they're trading someone to if they get what they want from that team in return. So I think they're they haven't missed out a whole lot in that specific regard.
What are the chances that they could land either Jimmy Butler or Paul George without giving up Kevin Love? Is there any way they could pull that off?
Well, I don't think there's a very good chance that they land either of them, even if they're willing to give up Kevin Love. So I guess, you know, the logical thing to say, there'd be next to no chance without including Kevin Love. But by the same token, you listen to some of the rumors involving the Lakers' potential deal, if they do it with Paul George ahead of time rather than waiting to sign him. If they can pull that off without giving up the number two pick, then the Cavs, you know, could give Indiana something comparable without including Kevin Love. But I don't expect that. I don't expect either of those deals to happen. I could be wrong, and I've been wrong plenty of times before. But it just seems like they just it's not only is it not clear that it parting with Kevin Love is going to necessarily make you a better team. That's an issue in and of itself. But do you want to trade for a Paul George who could potentially walk on you after one season? So there's a lot of unanswered questions involved in those deals.
I know in the past you certainly haven't been shy about the idea of not wanting Carmelo Anthony here. Well, what if he were to come over with? But what if he comes with Porzingis?
Then I might listen to you.
Because there are a lot of rumors out there, and not, you know, at this point we're still trying to figure out which ones are actually legit, which ones are not. But that's a name that's popped up over the last 12 hours or so. I mean, I don't know if Porzingis is a guy that is realistically out there, or maybe that's just Phil Jackson floating his name out there to see what kind of deal he could get for him. But I mean, if you're to get Anthony and Porzingis, like, what would that cost you?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. It's certainly going to cost you at least Kevin Love. You know, it's probably going to cost you Tristan Thompson as well. So have you necessarily gotten a ton better, specifically in the ways that you need to get better to beat the Golden State Warriors? I don't know that you have. And they don't have a whole lot of other tradable assets. You know, their picks are pretty much exhausted, and then their picks are not going to be very high anyway, so they're not very attractive. I think, you know, you don't want to part with Kyrie unless you're talking about some overwhelming blockbuster deal that really swings things in your favor. So I just don't know that that deal is plausible, and even if it is, that it really solves their problems.
Rick, everyone keeps talking about trades in the NBA, and I guess that's because everyone's been fairly boisterous on wanting to move from team to team. But are there any free agents out there that the Cavs should be making a run at? I mean, is there not someone they can get? That's what the Warriors essentially did in KD. I don't know that there's anyone that's big a blockbuster out there, but is there someone they should be looking at in free agency?
Well, that's going to all pan out come July. Yeah. And guys, they're much more likely to be a later in the summer bidder for guys who have slipped through the cracks, who are going to be available for minimum salaries, than they are of doing anything of high money significance, because they have no money to spend. So I think that whole free agency period is going to be the initial rush of big names and then headline-grabbing moves will run its course over the first two or three weeks. And, you know, then you get into late July, early August, mid-August, and you see quality players that slip through the cracks that don't have a home that you can acquire on the cheap. And that's worked out fairly well for them. In recent years, I think they just have to change their approach a little bit from getting kind of specialist shooter types to specialist athletic types that are more well-rounded overall basketball players, I think, should be the emphasis this summer.
And before we cut you loose here, Rick, how long do you think it'll take to get this done with Chauncey Billups? Are we looking at the next 12 hours, the next 24 hours? Do you think this could spill into the weekend?
I don't think it goes that long. I'll be at the computer ready to write something here in a few hours. And if it doesn't happen tonight, my complete gut instinct is that we start getting a lot of reports tonight, this evening, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, that Chauncey's agreed to terms and that they schedule a press conference for tomorrow. If it doesn't happen that way, my next guess is that the reports start filtering in the morning, and then we have a press conference later tomorrow afternoon. But I think it'll get done here tonight or tomorrow. I'd be fairly surprised if it didn't. Seems like he's their guy. They got to get someone in there and, just get it done and have Gilbert face the media and answer some difficult questions and go on about your business of trying to get to the finals for a fourth straight year.
There's never a dull moment when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, even if it is just after the offseason.
This was supposed to be the dull offseason. This was LeBron under contract summer. Let's all take a little time off and kick back. And certainly hasn't started out that way, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
No, and it always seems to be something, an ongoing saga, that's for sure. Rick, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you.